This is the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by EverBank. I'm JP Shadrick with the best of the week from Jags Radio, Jaguars.com, and Jaguars YouTube. It was a busy week around the Miller Electric Center. The players were back for the start of the offseason program. Trevor Lawrence and Foye Oluokun spoke with the media to set the tone for the offseason. Plus, Thursday was the pre-draft media luncheon featuring GM Trent Baalke and head coach Doug Peterson. Let's start with the return of the Jaguars players for the offseason program, strength and conditioning for the first 2 weeks. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence spoke Tuesday about how the team sets the tone for the next 2 months of work.
You know, just kind of recapping, obviously, last year, and, you got to move on pretty quickly because it's a new year. You know, now it doesn't matter who won the Super Bowl last year. Now everyone's kind of turning the page and going on to 2024. So you move on, but you have to kind of recap. All right, we only had that one team meeting right before we left to end our season last year, and you talk about it, but it's hard to digest that in one night before that meeting. So, you know, we talked about and addressed some of the things that happened, you know, maybe some things that we didn't do well, some things that we might have done okay and need to improve on, just really everything. We've done that the last 2 days, and from Coach Peterson's perspective, from Press's perspective, and then players, you know, some stuff too. So it's been really good. I think we're heading in the right direction, and we know what we need to do, and we got to attack this offseason and be really intentional. There's very tangible things that we need to get better at. Obviously, I'm not going to go into all the details right now, but there's things we need to get better at, you know, for myself, for us as an offense, as a team. And we kind of just put all those out there, and now we're all on the same page of where we're heading, where we're going, what we need to work on. So I think it's necessary to do that at the beginning of the offseason. So you're not just – the worst thing you want to do is you don't want to waste time. You don't want to just come here and work out and go home and really not know where you're heading and what you want to work on. So I think it was good to get everybody centered and know where we're going.
Now that there's been time, how did you digest it the last 6 weeks, especially of just everything that transpired?
Yeah, it was obviously a disappointing season. I mean, some of the stuff that I said after the year, but I think just being removed from it, it's a lot easier to see the good after the fact. Not necessarily the good things that happened, but use the bad things as good and to make yourself better moving forward. I mean, there's just so many things that I learned last season, whether it's, you know, trying to stay healthy and dealing with some things that I haven't had to deal with in my career, or not playing as consistent as I wanted to play and to finish the year, to whatever it may be, maybe not meeting some expectations that we had for ourselves as a team, not playing well in big games, all these things that have gone through my head. I think you being removed from it, you can take stuff from that and use it to make you better. In the moment, it's hard to see the big picture. So I'm thankful for that. I mean, all the difficult times of my career, I mean, I think back to my rookie season, has made me a lot better for it. You just have to use it. So that's what I plan to do from last season. And I think that's our approach as a team, too. It's a waste if you don't use it. You went through that experience, and then you don't use it. It's double bad because it sucked going through it, and then you didn't get better from it. So I think that's my mindset. That's our mindset moving forward, and so many things to learn from.
Think when you heard about Josh Allen's new contract?
I was excited for him. Super excited. Obviously, won the season he had, but just the guy that he's been, you know, he was here 2 years before I got here, and the 3 years that I've been here, just consistent, one of the hardest workers on the team, dependable, you know, as a person in the locker room, the right type of guy you want. So he checks all the boxes that you want as a leader on your team, and obviously a great player too. So I was just excited to get him back, you know, because there's a lot of teams that I'm sure would have loved to have Josh Allen on their team. So I'm excited that we got that done, and he's going to be a Jag for a long time. So I think that was a big box checked for us, and excited that he's here, and obviously really happy for him on just the personal and life side of that's a big deal, and can take care of his family for forever, for a long time. So I'm excited for him, and he definitely earned it.
He's only in year four, so it's you start thinking about your contract, a potential extension. You have had any talks with Jags at all about any of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some conversations. You know, as far as where that's at now, it's not really my focus. You know, I'd love to obviously be a Jag. So for as long as possible, we love it here, and I love where we're headed as an organization, and feel like I'm just getting better every year, and my best ball is definitely ahead of me. So from that standpoint, obviously, yeah, that would be great. But like you said, it's going into my fourth year. It's not like this is necessarily going to be my last season. You know, there's a lot that could happen. So not really my focus right now. At the end of the day, my job isn't going to change whether I get extended or not before this season. My job is to go win games and to be the best I can be for this team so we can have a chance to win a Super Bowl. So even if I get the contract extension, that's still my job, even more so. You know, there's even more expectation and pressure on that. So for me, I have the same focus and the same mindset. I can't lie, obviously it would be nice to have that done and, you know, feel good about it. But no, it's not really the focus right now. I know where we're at, I know where we're heading, and I know what I have to do. And, you know, there's some improvements that I have to make going forward.
Also speaking Tuesday, linebacker Foye Oluokun, who recently signed his third NFL contract. Last year's collapse will fuel him for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it'll never be in a rear view. Maybe next year after the season. I mean, I got a lot of questions on it throughout the offseason, and it's hard to think about just when it even started. We started off winning, but we weren't winning convincingly how maybe the score might have showed, but we knew that we weren't playing our best football, and I think a lot of those things caught up to us, and then trying to right our wrongs a little too late in the season, then it's a little bit more stressful when teams are hitting their stride and we're trying to find out how to do things right. That hurt for sure, and I think it will fuel us. Everybody's committed to doing things right this time around. We don't want to get in that position again, and it starts from the first game all the way to the last, you know. But just keep it improving every week, no matter what the scoreboard is, you know, keeping our standard every week, because sometimes you win games that you didn't play your best. Now you don't learn from them if you're not trying to get better. I think that kind of happened to us, and we're not going to do that this year.
Boy, how much does your job role change scheme to scheme?
As a linebacker, you pretty much have the same job description. You know, be the captain of the defense, lead them, call out what you see. Now the techniques and stuff might change in terms of how you play a play, but kind of always the same, like being a linebacker. So I have the utmost confidence in myself to be able to adapt to whatever the scheme change is going to be. But there is going to be a scheme change for sure.
Do you think, I think you might have mentioned already a couple weeks ago, this one could allow you to make more plays just based on mm-hmm. this style, this scheme?
Right, so everybody has a part in the defense. I'm trusting everybody's going to do their part. We talked about, I'm sure, if you watch the film, playing in lighter boxes, but dominating in lighter boxes as well. Not just being able to get through rundowns in a lighter box, be able to, you know, make your plays and stuff. So I think I talked about earlier, keeping our, matching your coverages more. It's just the way, you know, his defense is set up. But I'm excited to play in it.
The press conference availabilities at Jaguars.com and Jags YouTube. Also this week, I caught up with Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk, who missed the final five games last season with a core muscle and groin injury. He's back and ready to roll.
It was a tough way to end for me. Did everything that I could to try to get back, but it was just a couple weeks behind. But I'm feeling really good. You know, spent about a month here after the season just trying to get my body back to the place that it needed to be. And, you know, I'm pain-free now and, you know, just happy to be back in the building around the guys and just, you know, with a new mindset and new mentality to just bounce back from last year. Obviously, we didn't meet the expectations that we had for ourselves. And, you know, we have a chip on our shoulder and we're going to come in every day in the off-season program and work towards that.
So, yeah, you saw it off to the side, but in this locker room when all that went down the last month and a half last season. So that drives this team moving ahead, or at what point do you put what happened last season in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it. Our first year here, we set the expectations of what we expect from this team and, you know, try to, you know, play championship football, and that's what our sole goal is, to make, you know, it to the championship and to the end. And, you know, in 23 and last year, we didn't meet those expectations. And so now it's just getting back to our brand, really learning from last year that nothing's given in this league. And you have to go out and take it. You have to take respect and you have to take, you know, those wins that are hard to come by. So we're learning right now, doing a lot of reflection. And then, you know, once we really go ahead and line it up when it comes to training camp, I'm sure it'll be flush and we're ready to take on this year.
The full Christian Kirk interview available on Jaguars social media, Jaguars.com, and of course, Jags YouTube. On the Huddle Up podcast Wednesday, Bucky Brooks, John Osier, and I talked through how to schedule out the offseason program and much more.
Yeah, now you got to execute it. And I think it's important that everyone understands what needs to be worked on. And so you can kind of follow the plan and put some mile markers to know where you're at as you're progressing to the goal. And what you want to do is you want to get to training camp feeling good about the state of the team. You want to feel good about the things that you supposedly are working to clean up from last year while building a plan to make the team even better going forward. So for Trevor to acknowledge that, for the coaches and stuff to be on the same page, look, I look for big things. And I know this year would be different than last year in terms of the hype and the expectations around the program. All of that is dissipated. All of that has kind of gone to Houston, where they're marked as the team that should win the division, should be one of the teams that is competing for Super Bowls and those things. And the Jags have kind of been forgotten about. And so this is an opportunity to kind of go back to being the underdog, to kind of reset, refocus, and really be a better team than you were last year. Even though the record was the same as the previous year, you have an opportunity to kind of make your mark and maybe surprise people once you clean up some of the issues that plagued the team last year.
Yeah, and that's definitely the theme. I mean, Doug talked about it at the combine, and then both Foye and Trevor reiterated it, that they're not going to let last season go. There's a balance between looking ahead and using what happened last season as fuel. But if there was ever any human nature last year to let it ride or whatever all the cliches were, you don't get the idea that that will be the case this year. So I'm not huge on that sort of a theme really carrying over once you start playing games, but it's definitely the storyline that we're going to follow all offseason. So what the heck, I'll buy in for now, JP.
You're in. John Osier is in, moving ahead. Another one of the nuggets that you mentioned is, yes, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars have talked about contract extension, and you know they aren't quite ready to give up the details of some of those conversations, but Trevor did say, John, yesterday that they have happened.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent is a question.
And don't you kind of get the idea, and Bucky, I don't know if you heard Trevor or not, but you sort of got the idea listening to him that they know that it's going to get done at some point. I don't think they want to come out and say, yeah, it's going to get done mm-hmm. at some point, but there's a feeling that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy. No matter how much you nitpick sort of what he has or hasn't done, he has helped lift the franchise out of the abyss, and 24 years old, the whole thing is still out in front of him, all of those things. Some contracts you wonder about and they cause stress and anxiety. I don't really get the feeling that this is going to be, I think this is going to be more of a, when you get the message that it's done, you're going to, okay, well, it's done. And now, I'm sure for the guy signing the check, it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, you think?
But in terms of stress within the franchise, I don't know that this is going to be a seismic worry, Bucky.
I don't think it should be a seismic worry, because what good franchises do is they are proactive when it comes to retaining their blue chip players. And we've seen around the league, like the Philadelphia Eagles made a bunch of signings with some of their marquee stars. I think at some point when the worm turns for the Jaguars is you're proactively signing your star players, the players that you expect to be the pillars of the franchise. We see Josh Allen, we saw that he just got done, even though it probably took a little longer than some of us would have wanted. It got done. And so you have someone that is going to be around the franchise for a long time. Trevor Lawrence is next up. And with the rates in which quarterbacks are being paid, it is in the best interest of the franchise to pay him sooner rather than later. If you feel good about what he brings to the team, not only from a talent standpoint, but from intangibles, leadership, the way that he is trending in terms of a face of the franchise guy, then you pay him. And you may even have to overpay him what the current market states. Because the one thing we know about the quarterback market, it never comes back. It only goes up, and it's in your best interest to pay him now rather than wait till later, because it's going to cost you more if you wait and he continues to play like he has played and shown flashes of playing throughout his career.
As always, the Huddle Up podcast available now on the official Jaguars Podcast Network. The Jaguars are celebrating their 30th season, and the time to get your 2024 season ticket membership is right now. Be at the bank for every touchdown and secure your seats at jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. In a moment, GM Trent Baalke and head coach Doug Peterson ahead of the 2024 NFL Draft. All that after this.
Jaguars fans, EverBank is building its future on the partnership and the performance you know and trust. take advantage of high-yield savings solutions with money market, online savings, CDs, and more. Visit everbank.com/jaguars today for your financial advantage. EverBank, member FDIC, and the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back to the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by EverBank. And the 2024 draft is almost here. The Jaguars will be on the clock at number 17. Join us at EverBank Stadium Thursday, April 25th for the official Duval Draft Party presented by Donovan Air Electric and Plumbing. The party starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are free, but you must register at jaguars.com/draft party. Well, the draft, of course, is next week, but before that came free agency. And the Jaguars were active. On Jags AM Tuesday, Brian Sexton, John Oser, and I discussed the offseason so far.
That leaves us with just the draft, which comes up a week from Thursday. So let me pitch it to you, J.P. Shadrick. First of all, welcome to the show. How's the offseason gone in your estimation?
Yeah, so far so good, right? They checked some boxes in free agency. That was the number one priority. A lot of the fans might say, oh, they missed out on Calvin Ridley. That aside, they got Josh Allen done. That was a huge priority for them. So that deal is in the books and ready to roll, and they can move forward there. And now it's on to the draft and the offseason programs here as well. So, so far, so good in my estimation.
John, it seems like most of the questions have already been answered.
Yeah, I think they've done what they had to do. You know, they had to fix center. They had to do some things on the defensive line to get more stout. It feels like they've done that. How free agency actually works, we'll see it play out on the field. But they did, as JP said, they checked the boxes. I think they've got themselves in a situation where they can almost draft just for best available player. I think there's a hole at cornerback they need to fill, but I think they know what they want in the draft of that position.
All right, back to the big board for big thing two, and that's the lights are on at the Miller Electric Center. Yesterday, the players returned for the beginning phases of the off-season program. And as guys are walking in and as you guys are getting ready to talk to players today and the coach and the general manager later this week, what's the number one storyline that you're interested in following, John?
It's probably pretty obvious. It's probably Trevor. To me, all the check boxes stuff, all of the, hey, we fixed defensive tackle, we did this. Those are all minimal improvements. Trevor Lawrence improving his turnovers, improving his overall efficiency, taking that next step. All boats will rise if the big ship rises, JP.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and that's where it starts. But for me, I think it's the bigger picture. You know, how high does this team rise with the tide? You know, they were right there on the doorstep and then collapsed at the end of last season. Can they get past that mentally as a team? And they've proven the last 2 years they're at least a 9-win football team. Different results both years, obviously. So what is the next step? And as an organization, how do they take that? The quarterback's the number one reason why they could take that step, but everything around that has to be really in good place as well.
Jags AM airs Tuesday mornings on Jaguars.com and Jags YouTube. Let's move along now to Thursday and the annual pre-draft luncheon featuring GM Trent Baalke and head coach Doug Peterson. There was plenty to discuss, of course, including how the free agency window set up the approach leading into the draft.
Yeah, I think you try to address needs in free agency. You try to attack it that way. The less needs you have going into the draft, the better, obviously, because it allows you to then stick to that formula of drafting the best player available. But, you know, we feel comfortable. You know, I think and Coach can speak on that, too. We feel comfortable with where we're at, but we got a ways to go.
You know, I look at it, too, the same. You know, the first thing we try to do every offseason is try to re-sign our own guys, right? That's kind of the priority there, and then look outside the building, you know, to fill, as Trent was saying, to fill those immediate needs possibly there, and then obviously this third bucket is the draft, and so you feel good with the guys you got in the building because you were able to, you know, answer a couple of questions, and now you know, heading into next week, you feel now you're just adding more talent, more depth, and the competition that as coaches we look for as we continue to build.
Dealing with positions of need that you have, and it just so happens to line up that it might be a deep group of players at those positions, Does that complicate things in terms of what you want to do? You know, can you afford to wait a little bit more? Does it make you want to wait a little bit more, or you know, before you grab one of those positions, or how does that?
Well, it's obviously it's more comforting to know there's depth at a position where you have a need, because it gives you multiple opportunities within different levels of the draft. You know, and sometimes you're splitting hairs, and sometimes the guy that you got a little more value to doesn't play up to or doesn't play as well as the guy you got right behind him. So, you know, there's a little luck involved as well. But we feel good about where the board's at now. We feel good about where our needs lie and where the board, what the board's shaping up to look like. So, you know, now we just got to wait and play it out.
Trent, how do you feel about the talent pool in this year's draft? Is this a draft where you feel like you can get a guy on day or two, day three? I mean.
Yeah, I think it's no different than most drafts. I think there's talent at all levels. You just got to find them. You know, and a lot of finding them is fit. A lot of finding them is opportunity. You know, giving them an opportunity once you get them, you know, on your program within the organization. So I think it's no different. I like this group of players coming in. It's a little bit older. It's an older group because of the COVID situation and guys that went back for their fifth, 6 years of college. So that's a little different for us.
Trent, you mentioned how the board falls and how that can affect the approach. Is there a unique aspect to this class with the quarterback class at the top and maybe the amount of teams that are looking into that and how it could affect the board?
Well, when you don't need a position and it's heavy at a position like it is with quarterbacks, and you know, four or five are more than likely going to go off before we pick at 17, you know, that's a good thing, you know, because that leaves the position players or more position players available for us, you know. But again, you don't know what's going to happen 1 through 16. You know, you think you got an idea, you go in with a pretty good idea what it looks like and what your options might be, you know, whether that's three or four players we're looking at right now. We're not there yet. You know, we still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. We'll do that on Monday. But we like how it's shaping up, but we still got some work to do.
The full press conference at Jaguars.com and Jags YouTube. And let's cap off the week with Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Thursday afternoon. Jeff Lagerman and I reacted to the possibilities of trading in the first round next Thursday night in the NFL draft, plus the history of the Jaguars doing so.
I'm okay. Talking about trading up or down in the first round.
Well, it costs you a lot to move up. I know that.
Well, and also, look, you traded up to get James Stewart. Okay, good football player. Solid guy. I mean, great guy. Yeah. Was it ultra productive? No. Reggie Nelson, 17th, and you moved to 21st, so I was a trade back. But then you moved up to the 8th spot overall for Derek Harvey. That did not work out.
Nope.
It did not work out for Blaine Gabbert, but I get it. You're taking a shot at a quarterback. Sometimes you have to do that. You traded up to get Justin Blackmon. It didn't pay any dividends, okay? And then you also, with Devin Lloyd, you traded up to get Devin. And right now, if you're making an opinion on that, was that a success, or was that just kind of eh?
I think we're still, the jury's still
out
on that.
Still be determined, but right now, if you had to make a decision on it, you would say, eh, it's not wasn't a great trade.
But it's not done yet.
And then, you know, to trade back and to get Anton Harrison, you acquired so many extra picks. So the lesson is to me is that trading up is not necessarily a positive thing. And Trent Baalke alluded to that in his press conference today. He said, look, the analytics guys will tell you that trading up is never a good thing. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going up to get a quarterback, in my opinion, for every other position, you just stay put where you are, or you try to move back and then take the best available player. Not a guy that, well, he might be the best player, but we got a need there. No. Take the best available player always, in my opinion.
Unless you know for a fact in your heart of hearts that the guy you're moving up for another position is a Hall of Fame talent, right? How do you really know
that? You don't know that.
But if you
never know that.
If you have a philosophical...
It's a percentages game.
Yeah.
It's a percentages game. You know, so...
You got Aaron Donald sitting there waiting on you, but they
didn't
know that when
Aaron Donald was coming
out
from Pittsburgh, JP, I watched the film on him, and I'm sitting there watching the film, and I'm going, he's really good. He's got quickness. He's got suddenness. But, man, he's kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I watched the film on him. I didn't see a Hall of Fame guy. I watched the film on T.J. Watt, and I was like, you know, I don't think he's a first rounder. He's probably a second rounder. He's one of the best players in the league right now. You know, so, again, it's a percentages game.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I watched the defensive end in Cleveland.
Miles Garrett.
Hands down, this guy's a super freak. No doubt. This guy is a Hall of Fame type of talent. So that's one of the guys that I probably watched. When I watched Clowney coming out, I was like, Clowney, this guy can do everything. He's studding. He's violent. He can play anywhere. He can be moved around. I don't know if he's a great pass rusher. So, I mean, my evaluation on him was fairly accurate. It wasn't perfect because I thought that he would be more of an impact throughout his career. But one of those guys that's just, you know, freakish. And so, again, because it's a percentages game, I don't ever think that you go into any pick saying, this guy's a Hall of Famer. It just doesn't work that way.
Jaguars Happy Hour in the off season airs Thursday at 4 on our flagship station 1010XL AM, Jaguars.com, and Jags YouTube. And as always, check out the official Jaguars Podcast Network. It's a free subscription on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download your pods. We are there. Well, of course, we love the feedback, so leave us a comment and a 5-star rating. Less than a week now until the NFL draft, so enjoy the weekend. And thanks for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next week on the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by Everbank.